For any of us today who lament over being a Martha at times, and I'm sure there's a lot of us here, try not to be too critical with yourself. Jesus in today's gospel was certainly not being critical with Martha, though many of the commentaries that we sometimes hear present it like this, present the gospel as if that was happening. Applying the cliche, "You just had to be there," I think helps us to look at it a little differently. As much as it seems Martha was just wrapped up in her own control-oriented self, she was actually showing a great deal of love for Jesus, a love that was more fervent than Mary's. She was the one ready, willing, and able to serve the needs of their honored guest. So, for the time being, let's let go of the critical interpretation and try to see the good and the virtuous in Mary's way of relating to the Lord, at least in the beginning of this homily. Whenever we invite someone into our home, what's it mean to us? It's very meaningful to us, right? Well, in Jesus' day, the Jews considered such hospitality to be a great significance. Not only was it a sign of honor to the person being invited, it was also a statement of closeness that amounted to them saying to their guest, "I will treat you as one of my family." So it was pretty important to them. Abraham, as we heard in our first reading, received his three guests with what looked to be hospitality overload a little bit. That is, unless you think going to Publix for a couple pounds of ground beef to cook with your friends is the same as Abraham picking a choice steer from his herd. Some of us think it is. So Martha was really engaged in a very important service, and a holy service at that, because Jesus was the guest. Now, hospitality is a virtue. As a virtue, is that of sacrificing our own comforts and our own needs so that we can attend to the comfort and needs of another, welcoming the other with a generous heart. As all virtues are, it is a way of showing our love for God and our neighbor in a very concrete way. Martha and Mary, they each had their own way of showing Jesus that they loved him. Martha's way was to make sure everything was just right. You know, the house was clean, well-prepared food, nice table setting, and of course, serving the guest. Mary's way, on the other hand, was to attend to Jesus personally, letting him know that he was their honored guest in their home. And to this, to her, this meant sitting at his feet and listening to every word that he said. Now, some time ago, Mary and I invited Father Sonny to our house for a meal. And when he came, you know, Mary was doing a lot of the Martha stuff. I helped out. But when Father Sonny came, him and I sat down to talk. Now, I didn't sit at his feet and listen to him, you know, spew wisdom. I just declined not to do that. I thought it'd be a little uncomfortable for both of us. So I just sat in my easy chair. He sat on the sofa. But so Martha had her way of loving Jesus, and Mary had her way of loving Jesus. But here's where I have to make the distinction, and I do this because in this gospel, that's what Jesus does. He makes the distinction between the two of them. But again, he was not criticizing or devaluing Martha's way of loving him. When he says, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and worried about many things," he indicates it wasn't what she was doing, but how she was doing what she was doing. She was worried and anxious. And because he adds after that, "about many things," it wasn't just her action of serving him, it was many other things in her life that she was worried and anxious about. Now, whatever those many things are in Martha's life that she was anxious and worried about, all of us can certainly relate to her being anxious and worried about the many things in our own lives. Issues within our families, within our jobs, if we have one, with our health, finances, relationships, and not to mention all the concerns we have about the world around us, our local communities, our nation, our world, and yes, even in our church. All of these have the potential to cause a lot of anxiety and worry for us. Even as Christians who believe in the Lord, and when he says, "Fear not, for I have overcome the world," we sometimes fall for the trap the evil one sets for us here, of placing our hopes and our trusts in the world and in ourselves instead of God, our loving Father. For Martha, even though she was doing a good for Jesus, her reasons for doing it were more of a temporary nature. She was certainly acting from the dictates of the Jewish law, the Old Covenant, but Jesus came to fulfill that law and to establish the new covenant, taking it to a higher plane, the plane of the heart, and opening it up to the here and now of the kingdom of God. Yes, Martha had invited Jesus into her home, but now Jesus was inviting Martha and all of us, all people, into his home, into the kingdom of God. It was the old law and the old covenant with its commandments and a feast that laid the foundation for this kingdom and helped the people to hope for and to receive the new covenant. Written now, not on stone, not on those stone tablets, and ratified by the blood of goats and lambs and bullocks, but written now on the hearts, on their hearts, and ratified by the blood of the true sacrificial lamb, Jesus. As we know, Jesus argued a lot with the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the lawyers of his day for laying too heavy a burden on the people, expecting them to live up to the multitude of demands that they gleaned from the law, demands that they themselves did not even try to lift, to live out. So as a faithful Jew who wanted to love God with all of her heart, mind, and soul, Martha was one of these people, burdened with the expectations of living up to all of the legalistic demands that were placed upon her. Mary, though, as Jesus said, chose the better part. And what was this part? It was the way of discipleship to Jesus, of being formed and transformed in the heart, not by any power in this world or the power in ourselves, but by the power of his own Spirit, and to be made his intimate friends, brothers and sisters in the family of God his Father. This is the mystery, as St. Paul tells us today, hidden from ages and from generations past, but now manifested to us, his holy ones. It is Christ in us, our hope for glory. In our secular world today, with its daily bombardment upon our senses through its increasingly sophisticated and seductive technologies and media influence, and its own Pharisee-like demands to accept and approve of its anti-human, anti-family, and anti-child ways, the challenge before us is to be like Mary and like Martha, but in that order. Like Mary, our prayer life is to be on a very personal level with Jesus, sincere and intent upon listening to him and to his words. And, like Martha, We are to live this out in our daily lives, minus the anxiety and the worry, of course. Ready, willing, and able to serve the Lord generously in the people around us, Catholic or not. In what I thought would be our psalm response today, we proclaim, "Blessed are they who hear the word of the word with a generous heart and bring about a harvest through perseverance." So let us pray with another Mary, the mother of Jesus, who perfectly lived this out, that we will begin today to be such people.